Thanks, Jim. I forgot to unmute this. I am a child of God. We have several children out and about today, whether downstairs or up here or just 2 weeks old. I don't know, who's the oldest person in this room? They're probably the biggest child here. We're not too old, too young, too whatever, to kneel before God and say, I am your child. So the altars are open as always, but even more so now, to just lay your burdens at his feet as his children. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning. Despite the snow and the weather and everything that may have negatively affected us this morning, I still thank you for this morning. Because I have breath to say, I thank you for this morning. Lord, I pray that you would soften our hearts, open our ears for what you have for us. Whether it be through the worship in music or the worship through the word or just the fellowship that we have here today, or maybe throughout the week as we would just be open to hearing your voice through every encounter, every moment, because you are there guiding us, if we'll take your guidance. So let us hear your voice. And be driven by it. Not just to hear it and know it, but to be reactive upon it. For it to be a catalyst towards our movement, towards you, Lord. So we can hear your voice and live for you, whatever that may mean for us. Not only for ourselves and our salvation, but for the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I am a child.
Ministered to my heart, and I was really thankful, aren't you, for those songs? They do a great job, and I surely appreciate it. A number of years ago, my brother handed me some CDs from a Christian camp he had attended with his wife in Pennsylvania, and they were messages by Reverend Steve Wilson, Dr. Earl Wilson's one son. When I was going to Bible college at United Wesleyan College, we were praying for Steve because he was a teenager battling with leukemia. And to hear him preach on these CDs was a great blessing all these years later when he was married and had some children. And on one of these CDs, there was a message that he preached, so I want to give credit to him. I put things in that were on my own, but how to move from hurt to healing. And as I listened to this message in my car going back and forth to the hospital where I served as chaplain, I said, I got to make some notes here. I have to preach this message because I was feeling it. And I believe this message is so true to what so many people go through in life, that if we don't have hurts residing in our heart, we may be hurt somewhere in the future. And God may use it sometime in the future as well. The scripture that I'm going to read to you is just a couple past chapter 45 of Genesis. It is Genesis 50, verses 15 through 21. It is after Jacob and all the family comes down and Joseph assigns them the land of Goshen and they're living there, and then their father Jacob dies. And he had made Joseph promise that when he died, they would take him back and bury him in the cave where Abraham and Sarah and so on were buried in the promised land. So Jacob and his brothers all went back and they buried him, and then they came back to Egypt. And that's when this scripture takes place. Genesis chapter 50, beginning at verse 15. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually, or there's a word there that can mean fully, repay us for all the evil we did to him. So they sent messengers to Joseph saying, before your father died, he commanded saying, thus shall you say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. Now, please forgive the trespass of the servants of God, servants of the God of your father. And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we are your servants. Joseph said to them, do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about, as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now, therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Some people, children and adults, get bit by mosquitoes in May. The spring's coming, but there's a downside to it, you know. And they're still suffering the effects through October. You know, they pick the scabs and the scars and keep suffering the effects. Many people do that with their wounds and hurts that others have caused them, whether it be family or someone in the neighborhood or at school or at church. So we're talking today about how to move from hurt to healing in your life. How did Joseph do it? And how do we do it? First of all, I'm going to illustrate the hurt here by just taping hurt onto this balloon my wife and I purchased. I don't know which side it's going to rotate to. Yes, hurt weighs more than we realize on our hearts. I believe that. It weighs a lot, and it can pull us down if we'll hold on to it. So here are some ways we believe God can help us move from hurt to healing. Number one, let go of all grudges. The Hebrew word for grudges is natar. It means to cherish or to guard. Instead of letting go, some people hold on to their memories or even hold them in their minds and keep replaying the hurts over and over. But it doesn't hurt others as much as it hurts themselves. You've maybe have one in your home, those digital rotating picture frames, and they keep up bringing different pictures you've taken. I've seen them in businesses and in homes. They're so nice. But some people do that in their minds and in their hearts with their hurts. They just keep replaying them over and over again. And it doesn't do anyone any good. We have to let go of all grudges. If we keep that hurt and we keep sometimes that hate in our heart, it'll destroy us. When I served in the psychiatric center, I had a coffee cup with an X on each side of it, and I let it represent poison. And I would pick out one of the kids, and I would say, "Now, if I have something against you," I'd say to one of the kids, I'd call him by name, "and I'm angry at you and you hurt me, and I am so angry, I drink this poison and wait for you to die." Who's it gonna hurt? Me. Hurt and hate and unforgiveness is like poison in our heart, and it's gonna hurt us. I brought a book with me today. It's entitled Shame Lifter, Replacing Your Fears and Tears with Forgiveness, Faith, and Hope. It was written by one of our Wesleyan pastors' wives, Marilyn Hounts. Her and her husband pastored in Holland, Michigan for many years. But Marilyn had a deep hurt in her life. She tells about it in this book. When I saw this book come out, I ordered two copies. I ordered one for me and I ordered one for my wife. And we agreed that we were going to read it very slowly. It is a book worth getting. One day I was at a conference out in Indianapolis near headquarters, representing our district here at the time, the Northeast, the Champlain District. And I was at the table with another DS, with one of the teachers at the college out there at Indiana Wesleyan University, and someone else. We had different people at each table. And I was telling them how this book would be good to share with others when there was a tug on my left sleeve. And the young professor said to me, "Pastor Paul, Marilyn Hounts is my mother. And what she wrote is true and powerful." This is one of the illustrations she used. Marilyn Hounts writes, "A number of years ago, the Lord used a visual concept from author Dr. Chuck Lynch to help me when I knew I needed to forgive someone, but just didn't know exactly how to forgive that person immediately. After all, some sins against us are so horrendous," she writes, "that forgiving them instantaneously is very difficult." Chuck suggests that when a person has hurt us, we put him or her in what he calls a Jesus jail. Then visualize, place that person who has hurt you or is hurting you into that Jesus jail. You don't leave that person there permanently. Only while you are in the process of forgiving that individual. By putting someone in the Jesus jail, you're saying to the Lord, Lord, I relinquish my desire to take out vengeance on this person. I will not return evil for evil. I am placing this person in your hands so you can deal with them in your time and in your way. The Jesus jail helps us release the person to Christ and allows him to work with him or her and us. If we allow him, God patiently helps us move towards forgiveness. And the Holy Spirit whispers gently to us, forgive that person who has hurt you, my child, for it is the only way to take something bad and turn it around for good. The first way to move from hurt to healing is let go of all grudges. I remember when I was pastoring in a church one day, it was vacation Bible school time, and one of the helpers, one of the adults in Bible school got upset at something that happened. And so I met with her and her husband, and my wife and I actually did. And boy, she let me have it, all the things I was doing wrong as pastor. And I loved, they were part of my flock. I went home, I knelt aside of my bed in our bedroom. The boys were in their other room, so I waited till we got in our bedroom. I knelt by the bed and I just wept. I remember my wife putting her hand on my shoulder. Next morning, I got up and I went to the study, sat down, and it seemed like, not in an audible voice, but I remember the phrase the Lord impressed on my heart. Who's the pastor here? I am. What are you going to do, Paul? Forgive. And that's what we have to do. It's not easy sometimes, but we have to release that person or even put them in the Jesus jail until God helps us to forgive. We don't forget, by the way our minds are made up. I did well for a couple days, and then Sunday came and came to church and walked in, and there was that person, and whoosh, those feelings came back up to my mind. You know what I mean? And I thought, Lord, I have to preach this morning. Honest truth, I slipped to another part of the church and I said, Lord, I choose to forgive that person and let go again. Sometimes you have to practice that continual forgiveness until you can really let go. Number two, if you're going to move from hurt to healing, accept any and all apologies. When you read verses 15 through 17, where the brothers first send messengers to Joseph, there is no indication that Jacob ever ordered this to be done. We believe this was a backhanded attempt at apology by his brothers. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, perhaps Joseph will hate us. He may actually repay us. So they sent messengers to Joseph. We believe this was their scheme to apologize. And after they sent the messengers asking for his forgiveness and not to hold anything against, that's what Jacob wanted you to do. So Joseph started weeping. Then his brothers came in and knelt before him and said, we're your servants. This was a backhanded apology if there ever was one. It was an insincere apology, it seems. Do you know the problem with apologies? They rarely come in the form that you expect them. or they rarely come in the form you want them to come. I get this picture in my mind of what an apology should look like. Don't you? When somebody has hurt you. You know, it should look like tears running down their face, head down on their knees. Oh, Pastor Paul, forgive me, I'm so wrong. Oh, I do that to my wife all the time. No. Don't we get this picture in our mind? I remember one time, there's a lady in our first church, and when I visited her and her husband was kind of quiet, but she was the outspoken one. She spoke against my wife for wearing slacks in the parsonage and for cutting her hair, and I was sad. I said, boy, you're just making me feel uncomfortable in your home. And I thought, she grew up in a different age, a different time. I shouldn't have said I feel uncomfortable. So I went back and apologized. And when I did, I waited for her to. But it never came. And I decided no matter what, I had to do my part. I remember getting a pie one day at the parsonage. My wife and I, you can ask my pie. We have no idea what that pie was, but it was from her. I wonder if that was an apology. They rarely come in the way you expect. We get suspicious about how sincere they are. We get in the business of critiquing apologies. On a scale of 1 to 10, that was only a 2. If I'm going to... Critiquing apologies can cause us to hold on to the hurt until someone apologizes right. Joseph didn't critique his brother's poor attempt. If you want to move from hurt to healing, accept any and all apologies. One day in my ministry, Colossians 3:13 really spoke to me. Paul writes, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave, so you also must do. It's a command. Even if they don't apologize. Sometimes hurts are deep. Sometimes we have to put them in the Jesus jail. By the way, remember what Joseph did when his brothers first came down to buy grain? And he recognized them, but they didn't recognize him. He said, you're spies. Oh, no, we're not. And you remember what he did? He put them all in prison for 3 days. Remember? And I believe he worked on forgiving them. Then he brought them out and said, no, I'll just keep one of you here to see if you keep your word. He knew what they had done before, so he was testing them. But sometimes we have to really turn it over to Jesus. Have you ever been hurt? This was a command in Colossians written by the Apostle Paul that we must forgive whatever grievances we have against others. And sometimes, even in Christ Church, as I gave that illustration of myself in my first pastorate during that vacation Bible school time, sometimes we can even be hurt in a church. And sometimes churches need healing in order to move forward with their lives. We need to do that. Matthew 6:14-15 is Jesus' words. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. It's our Christian duty, our obligation, our responsibility to forgive and accept any apology. I'll never forget a sight I saw in church one day. I was a teenager and I was sitting back on this side of the church in Cherryville, Pennsylvania. It was a Sunday night and we were singing a lot of hymns and really singing out with gusto, when all of a sudden, sitting on the back on this side, I saw right against the wall of that little church at the time, now it's a big mega church, I saw Dan Miller, elderly Dan Miller, one of the board members of that church. We were sitting down when we were singing that. He got up and walked up two rows and tapped Fred Opplinger on the shoulder, another board member. And he turned around and they hugged and wept. And we're still singing. And then I saw him walk up and around the front seat and down the middle aisle and hugged my Uncle Alex, if I recall right, another board member. And then he came back to my dad, another board member, and he hugged my dad. And about that time, people from over here started coming to the altar, and people from over here, the Holy Spirit just came upon the church. And I believe when we're willing to let go of any hurt or apologize in the best way we can, the Holy Spirit has the right of way to move. And that's what we want. Amen. Quickly, the third thing is, don't ever put yourself in the place of God. The brothers fall down and Joseph says, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? I know you mistreated me. I know you hurt me. I know you sold me. But don't be afraid. It's not my place to take vengeance," Joseph said. "That belongs to God." Isn't that what Paul penned to the Romans? "Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." Our lives belong to God. Others' lives belong to God. It's not us to decide their fate. We have to put them in the hands of God, just like we have to do with our own lives. And I love the scripture that Kyle read this morning, because over and over again, Joseph says in that 45th chapter to his brother, don't be angry at yourselves. It wasn't you who sent me here. It was God. God meant it for good. And he says it again in verse 20 here in Genesis 50. It was God who sent me here, not you. God meant it for good to bring about, it is this day, saving many lives. Fourth, if you want to move from hurt to healing, do more than just forgive. Listen to verse 21. "Now therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Do more than just forgive. After they tried to get rid of him, after they threw him away like trash, he not only forgave them. Remember, you don't forget. Joseph didn't forget. He knew what they did. But he made them his brothers again and provided for them. Do more than just forgive. Make them your brother again. Marilyn Hounce, in this book, Shamelifter, says author and speaker Jennifer Kennedy Dean shares an illustration from her own life about her son, which Marilyn says, for me, really spoke of a wonderful example of the word releasing something to God. She said when her son Stinson was a toddler, Jennifer says she picked him up from a birthday party he had attended, and he came out proudly clutching a red helium-filled balloon. "Stinson, what a wonderful balloon," I said. "Don't let it go or it will go way up in the sky and you won't be able to get it back." She turned around for a moment, and when she turned back, there was Stinson watching his balloon go way up into the heavens. "Oh, Stinson, I'm so sorry you lost your balloon." Stinson said, "I didn't lose it, Mommy. I gave it to Jesus." I gave it to Jesus. Release. It's so hard to do with difficult people or difficult situations, but it's so freeing. Hurt weighs a lot. I'm not quite done with the message yet, but we decide to get rid of hurt, and we decide we're going to give it to Jesus at the foot of the cross. How freeing it is to release it to him. True story. I was at that same Bethany Wesleyan Church. They had built a new sanctuary. It was growing. God was blessing the church. I was in Bible college. My dad had sold lots off of our farm to afford. He promised me to send me to Bible college if I felt a call to preach. And he came out of church. My younger brother and sister were with me in the backseat of the station wagon. My dad came out of the church and my mom, they got in the car and they said, "That wasn't right." I learned what happened. One of the men in the church that he had sold a lot to, my dad had said, "If you build here," my dad had an old well driller, "I'll dig the well for you for free if you buy the lot. The only thing, if you decide not to build and you want to sell it back to me." You know, he wanted some Christian neighbors around him, he said. And that was kind of the verbal agreement. Well, this man sold the lot to someone else and then threatened to sue my dad because he wouldn't drill the well for the new person. My dad and mom got in the car and they said, "That wasn't right." And then they looked in the rearview mirror and saw us three sets of our eyes watching at him. And mom and dad went like this. They went home. Next night in family worship, while we were praying in the farm before we went to bed, my dad started praying and then he said, "And God bless this man and his wife, help him at his work, help the kids in school." They prayed for him. I thought, they didn't say anything about what happened. Next night they prayed for him. Next night they prayed for him. What does the scripture say? Isn't that what Jesus said? If our enemies harm us, we're to pray for those that despitefully use you. My mom and dad just released it to God and prayed for that family, not for weeks, but for years. One last thing. If you want to move from hurt to healing, look past the present. I want to read two more verses from this same chapter. Now the next two verses, verses 22 and 23. So Joseph dwelled in Egypt, he and his father's household, and Joseph lived 110 years. Joseph saw Ephraim's children to the third generation. The children of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were also brought upon Joseph's knees. I tend to believe because Joseph looked past the pain and forgave his brothers. God blessed his own sons and his grandsons and his great-grandchildren and his great-great-grandchildren. And they got to sit on his knee. And I believe he loved them and was an example to them. But I don't believe it would have happened if he would have held on to his hurt. I think my mom and dad saw that same thing. When they forgive that man, I could tell you his name, but it wouldn't do you any good. I saw them forgive that man. They wanted to keep their spirits right. They wanted to be a good example to their sons and daughters. In 1992, my dad died suddenly, right after Easter Sunday. But his heart was right. At my dad's funeral, my one unsaved brother of the seven of us, my oldest brother, my mom reached in the casket before they closed it, before the funeral service, and took it out and gave it to my brother George and said, "It has your name on it." He was George Jr. "Dad would want you to have it." He later told me at that moment, the Holy Spirit got a hold of his heart. And he knew he needed to be saved. And he got saved about 3 weeks later. And he started coming to the Cherryville Wesleyan Church. And he attended that for years. And one day he told me, "Paul, you know, that adult Sunday," I almost said his name, "that adult Sunday school teacher has helped me so much. I've grown by leaps and bounds." And I thought, oh, Lord, do you know who it was? It was that same man who had threatened to sue my parents. I'm so glad they look past the present. That man has since died and gone to heaven. We're all human, aren't we? But God knows we need to lay the hurts at the foot of the cross. And we have to release those things to God that only He can straighten out. If we want to move from hurt to healing. I do. Don't you? The worship team is going to come and give us a closing song. Thank you, worship team. Thank you for being attentive and listening to the message. I want to see God do great things in His church. And He can only do that as there's a spirit of unity and of love. And I have been praying for a new pastor, and I believe God has great things for this church. And this message really gripped my heart because sometimes things happen and we just gotta let them go to God. I'm reading an evening devotional book by C.H. Spurgeon. And he said this, "To be forgiven is such sweetness that honey is tasteless in comparison with it. But there is one thing sweeter still. And that is to forgive." Let's pray. Loving Lord, You are the healer of our hurts. You are the healer of our souls. You are the healer of our memories and of our emotions. And of our churches. And how did You do it, Jesus? Isaiah said, "By His stripes we are healed." The psalmist said, He healeth the broken in heart and binds up their wounds. Peter said, by his wounds we are healed. When they spit upon you and crowned you with thorns and nailed you to a cross and lifted you up and dropped the cross into the ground, your first words, Jesus, was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Help someone this morning to release that hurt to you. Help some church member to forgive another one. And Lord, help us to leave the hurt at the foot of the cross. Minister to each soul you love this morning, just as they are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.